Park City Sustainability Manager Tyler Polson says currently the city gets 8.4% of its electricity from the Blue Sky Renewable Energy Credit Program and has installed some 430 solar panels around town on city-owned structures. He says they've recently begun looking at the feasibility of putting solar panels on the PC Mark. The total number of panels needed to power that facility would be more than all other facilities combined at some 570 panels. That calls into question why a facility needs to use that much power, and recently City Council has questioned the need for air conditioning.
And certainly it does add to the utility costs, the O&M, the carbon footprint for a facility anytime you add space conditioning, and it's something that is, you know, increasingly being revealed as we're doing larger projects, as we're doing major renovations, is that air conditioning question. So it's something that's important to have on the docket. And first and foremost, to understand what the implications are. We're not exactly sure with the library example what the cost would be. That's something that we're researching right now. But first and foremost, you know, ask the question.
With regard to the payback of 50 years on those solar panels, when most only have a 10 to 15 year payback, Polson says that's because municipalities don't get some of the tax breaks for solar like residences do.
Municipalities are a little bit different. We're tax exempt. And so we're not eligible for the tax rebates when it comes to solar. So there's a 30% federal tax rebate and a 25% state tax rebate. The city wouldn't be eligible for either. We'd essentially be covering the entire cost up front. And then secondly, there's a big difference in regards to renewable energy and solar in particular when it comes to the value of that energy for a commercial versus a residential facility and how the meters are set up. And so on larger commercial facilities, there's something called a demand charge that makes up a large portion of your bill. And when you're generating solar power, it may have a negligible to no effect on that demand charge.
Of course, he says those costs can be offset by grants, which they're constantly looking for. And so far, he says they've found enough granting to pay for about 90% of the panels currently on buildings. Polson says the big question that needs to be answered is about willingness to pay for getting power from clean and renewable sources.
So kind of the status quo in Utah is over 96% of our electricity is generated from fossil fuels. You know, when it comes to deciding whether you're a business or a homeowner or an organization, whether you want to invest in renewable energy, it's about that willingness to pay. Are you okay with the status quo of the highly fossil intensive electricity infrastructure? Or would you be willing to pay a premium, let's say in the near term, to get some renewable carbon free energy on your facility?
There's also new legislation in Utah that allows for large off-site renewable energy projects, he says, so that's something they'll research next.
It passed just last year. It was called the eBay bill because of that online retailer's strong support for it. For the first time, it allowed large commercial users to go out and develop significant renewable energy projects. There's a 2-megawatt minimum. So you're talking 8,000 solar panels if you're talking solar minimum scale project. And you would get credit for that generation as though it occurred on your facility. There is still some regulatory rulemaking to ultimately determine what the financial value of that generation is, but it's changed the landscape seemingly in a positive way that would allow the city to go out, do a large-scale project, take credit for that on our own internal operations. We'd be at a place where about 35% of our power is renewable and carbon-free.
In the meantime, Polson says they hope to have some micro-hydro turbines installed on current city water lines by next year. He says also in the research they found that at this point wind power is not really feasible in this area because the wind isn't strong enough.
The average wind speed was somewhere in the 6.5 to low 7 mile per hour range, whereas with most wind manufacturers, even on a small scale, the micro wind, they're saying you need 10 to 12 miles per hour wind at a bare minimum for the projects to start make sense.
That's Park City Sustainability Manager Tyler Polson. I'm Lynn Ware-Peak, KPCW News.